Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you're curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QueerFam for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, Baby Mori, and Pros. Thanks all for making our show a possibility. Woo!
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are. Love is love if you don't have to make a family, but taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through customs?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Okay, everybody needs to understand something. Since this season started, we're cursed with our tech.
And
we recorded two episodes yesterday. We're going to be putting a thing out on our social.
the tech nightmare we had yesterday.
Trying to get this person's microphone working. And then we sit down today to do the intros and the outros and the ads. And there are
men outside my window drilling into the wall.
And Jamie keeps leaning to the left or to the right so I can see the men in the window just yelling. So, and then every once in a while you hear like,
it's so loud. And I guess you can't hear it as bad as I hear it. It's so loud in here. But
I'm sure our audience can.
They got to my window right when we started recording.
As soon as we sat down.
All of a sudden there was a man outside my window. This is
unlucky season number 9.
Only way to go is up.
Oh my God.
Well, here we are. We're so happy to be with you guys, though. We're going to start this positive thinking roll. We're going to be on a positive
thinking Okay. I can do that.
Yes. I mean, we have all of you tuning in. So that's what matters.
That's correct.
What matters right now. That's all that matters in life.
And with our positivity, we're going to say, do you want to help us make content for LGBTQ families? Because if you do, you can join our Patreon community and you get to do just that.
You really do.
Here's the thing that's exciting about it, Jamie.
What's that?
You help us make LGBTQ content. What does that mean? It means you're a good person. means you're a good person, right? And you're helping us do good things. And then because you're a good person helping us do good things, you get extra content. You get bonus content at the gestational carrier level. You're going to get video interviews of most all of our episodes, and they're dropped a day early. No
and
commercials,
also, just so
no
you
edits.
Know, you can do as little as $2. You can do, I mean, there's really small options.
That is less than one cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Let's talk about our guests. Should we do that?
Yes. Katya and Beckett.
Katya is a fellow podcaster who reached out to us and wanted to share their story. And
oh my
it's
God.
A good story.
It is a good story. I'm going to say a great story, Jamie. We're going to talk about their relationship. It was a lesbian relationship, but as Beckett has begun transitioning, they're both figuring things out together.
And of course, because everyone is a better parent than we are, they actually recorded this entire episode with a sleeping baby at their feet who was just like chill and quiet the whole time. I don't know what did we do wrong? What are we doing wrong?
I don't know.
That would have never happened.
Some kind of a karma thing. Listen, yeah. I'm at a friend's house, which is why it's louder, more echoey, and you've got the construction.
So we're just going to roll this.
I brought Helen with me, but she's asleep in the guest bedroom. So
of course she is.
I think we'll just roll it.
We're going to roll it ourselves. We're going to say roll the tape, Helen, just because. But also, if you hear this noise in the ads, too, apologies for that. Apologies. Just, you know.
Just try to love us. We're sorry.
Try to love us anyway.
Hi, Katya and Beckett.
Hi, Robin and Jamie. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you for being here. It's so wonderful to have you.
Yeah, and we're going to go right into your elevator pitch. And what you may not know is I am going to put up a little timer
she
on the
is,
screen. Don't let it panic
the sad
you.
Thing, I don't know if it's a sad thing, but we don't cut you off. We're never going to stop you. So this is the beauty of this podcast.
All right. On your mark, get set.
Who are you?
Go.
All right. My name is Katya. I'm here with my spouse, Beckett. We've been together for 7 years, married for 4. We met as self-identified lesbians and dated, fell in love, the whole thing. And then I became pregnant. We used Beckett's brother as our donor back in May. And that was also a time that Beckett was starting to think about a gender transition, now identifying as non-binary and transmasculine. And now here we are in February and we have a baby and we're figuring it out.
That was beautifully done.
Well done.
I knew I couldn't.
No, Katya, you know, you can tell you're a podcaster. That was so smooth. I loved it.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so let's start at the very beginning. You guys met, did you say 9 years ago?
Seven. 2015. It's, you know, this winter's been pretty rough in Boston. We've gotten some big blizzards, and 2015 was the most recent year of blizzards here. There were like it was Beckett's first winter.
Growing up, you know, in Texas, this would come to this Snowmageddon in 2015.
That was what it was. Yeah. Snowmageddon, like 100 inches that winter. And so when we met, this was in Davis Square. So lesbians of Boston, well, we'll know that Somerville and Cambridge, lots of great dating spots. So we went to Saloon, which is a restaurant in Davis Square, and Beckett was ready to peace out of Boston because of the snow. And my job was to convince them that, no, we can go skiing. There are things to do in the winter. So I think like our third date was a ski trip, and slowly but surely, I've made them into a New Englander, transplanted New Englander.
Wow, you stayed, Beckett. It worked. Wow.
We'll see how long it lasts.
And how soon before you all are like, we're here, we're in it, or we're doing this, let's have babies.
Why don't you want to tell the proposal story? We weren't like U-hauling on the third date like most lesbians do, but it was quick. Like, you want to give them that timeline?
A year in, I think, after dating, I proposed in our apartment with a series of like pictures and had a whole speech prepared and everything. And I think we got married a year and a half.
2018.
After the proposal.
Yeah. We took the time to plan the wedding. The proposal happened quick, but we planned a wedding in Asheville, North Carolina, where Beckett's parents live, and it's a lot of fun. And so, yeah, we actually started the let's maybe have kids thing in 2019, asked Beckett's brother via a letter in the mail, I wrote him the letter, actually.
Snail mail.
An old school letter?
Snail mailed it. He generously accepted and has been, you know, just amazing, but doesn't necessarily love awkward conversation. So I felt that snail mail was the way to go.
And we sent the letter and like heard no response from him for like weeks. And then we were finally like happened to be going to Houston for some reason.
We were
so worked up, like we're going to have this brunch with him and like see what his reaction was to the letter. Oh, we sit down, we like have the, you know, awkward, like, first half of the brunch and try not to acknowledge it. And then we're like, so.
Remember that time I sent you a letter asking to have your baby?
And
remember
he was just like, what letter?
Yeah. Maybe he had read it, maybe he hadn't, but he said, I don't check my mail often. And this was like a couple months.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he might have read it, but just decided to pretend.
Yeah. Oh, so awkward though.
To this day, we don't know.
It's so,
he said yes. And that's, what's, that's what matters.
Just taking that leap to ask somebody. I never even thought about asking a brother, a family member, but even just trying to ask my friend was like so nerve-wracking. Yeah. How do you know? So,
right. And, I mean, it was such a then non-issue. I think his immediate response was, you know, I can't think of any reason why not. Like, and we were like, we'll give you a little time to think about it. And he was like, okay, but you know, it was pretty easygoing about it. And so then we were going to like start the process. Mm-hmm. And then when COVID hit, we were like, let's just wait. And we don't want to be in the medical system when, you know, not the best environment for having a baby.
Yeah.
So
did he have to bank it and ship it?
We did think about going that route. Like we thought that might be easiest. But then as we started uncovering the red tape of, oh, you need like a social worker to evaluate you all, and straight couples don't need that. I think I was the most up in arms about that. Like that makes no sense. And
because it was evaluate us and him as a donor.
Yes.
Which is just wild.
Yeah. Lots of steps.
When you can just do it through the back door and nobody has to be there and not the back door like that way. That's not what I meant.
That's true.
And we're not talking about doing it the old fashioned way either. We're just doing it without having to go through any legal channels or whatever.
Right.
Medical channels.
Then it's got to be fresh. Yeah.
Exactly. The medical. Yeah.
I want to know how you guys came to...
Wait, they didn't finish. I want to know they flew to him.
No, I know. I'm taking it back to how you came to the decision to make your family this way. How did you come to the decision before we get to the... I mean, I guess you guys didn't finish that. You finished that story. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah. I mean, we had always talked about like, you know, adoption and fostering and all, you know, all the many options. And then, I mean, you've always wanted to kind of carry, you've thought about that for a while, but I think the biggest discussion was around like, if we do get a donor, is it a known donor or, you know, an anonymous one from a bank or something? And I kind of leaned that way. I just thought it would be kind of like a cleaner relationship. You know, you don't have to explain all of these more complicated like family dynamics that way. And you kind of lean the other way, right?
Mm-hmm. I was just, I guess, a little afraid of like, what if something comes up and we don't know, you know, the history. But like, we have plenty of friends who have kids with, you know, anonymous donor sperm. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. Like, there's so many ways to build a family. I just... Mm-hmm. Personally was like, oh, well, we actually kind of went the friend route before we were really contemplating. We both have brothers. So, you know, let's do the real genetically related thing. And like there were friends like Beckett has a really close friend who offered, you know, unprompted. And but like I think that it almost felt more complicated in some ways to have a friend like.
Yeah,
I even had a friend tell me, you know, like what if the kid turns out to be like a shithead, and you know, like then I'm partially responsible for that. And I hadn't asked, but it was just like what came out of, you know, them thinking about it. So
right, I never thought of that way.
Can you imagine?
They're still bad. Your friend, yeah. And so like they get to see like how does this human being progress in life, and and I don't know, the brother like. To be honest, like both of our parents, mine in particular, were like really excited about the prospect of the grandchild being, you know, the grandchild of both.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there was one kind of tipping point for me that knocked me back over to the known donor and the like related donor, which was I had like a friend at the time who, so she's gay. Her parents are also lesbians, and they did a donor from like anonymous bank. And they both mothers, you know, carried, they use the same donor, and she's around our age. So, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And, she like randomly started to, I think she took like a 23andMe test or something. Mm-hmm. And so she started finding all of these half siblings and like connecting them with them on Instagram. And at the time that I talked to her, she had like over 20 half siblings, which is just wild. So I was like, maybe that's not quite what feels right for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, mm-hmm. and again, like it's cool to know you have half siblings, totally, but yeah. I think, yeah, we were both like, we both felt like, oh, we'd want to know more about these half siblings too. And they're living their own lives, and, you know, kind of was a process of elimination, I guess. Yeah. Like we,
and everybody comes to this decision on their own. Right. And it, you know, we just were talking about this in the last episode we recorded, Robin. There's no shame in whatever you choose to do.
Yeah, there's no judgment.
There's no judgment. Thank you. Not shame, but there's no judgment anyway. Yeah. You choose to go about your, making your family.
It's whatever feels right for you and your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the path you have to go down. Any other path wouldn't be right.
Right. And I think the beautiful thing about not like a non-traditional family is you get to make that decision over and over again. And like we could go down that path again with Beckett's brother, but my dad grew up in foster care, and you know, it wasn't the best experience for him. It was in Vermont. He grew up on a dairy farm. He milked the cows. Like that was foster care in Vermont. And then my family took in foster kids, even though there were five of us. And I wanted to do it. It's just, you have to go through 40 hours of training, both of us. And that like just didn't feel feasible, but someday, you know, we could try fostering and to adopt. So we just, it's nice to have that door open and know we can be creative with how we build our family.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. And I want to know, why is it so hard to take care of ourselves, especially as a parent? Why? We bend over backwards for everyone. But when it comes to bending over backwards for ourselves, absolutely not. It's like pulling teeth.
You're really into those generic statements today, huh?
I really am.
Bending over backwards and pulling teeth. But you are right. Mm-hmm. It is really hard to take care of ourselves. Our families need us all the time. But you know what, Jamie? We need ourselves too.
We sure do, Robin. Leave it up to you to say something so deep.
I am very deep, Jamie. Very. You know, it's true though. We go out of our way to treat other people well, but how often do we give ourselves the same treatment? If I don't give myself a true lunch hour every day when I sit down and watch my program on the TV to regroup, I am angry and I mess up by the end of the day.
I know it. Trust me. I know it. But it's true. Stop it. We all need something for ourselves. So this month, BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you that you matter just as much as everyone else does. And therapy is a great way to make sure you show up for yourself. Having that session scheduled every week with my therapist really forces me to put the excuses aside and show up for myself week after week. It's my insurance for a better me. It is.
And in case you didn't know, BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to.
It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours.
Listen, give it a try. Why not? See why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and If These Overs Could Talk listeners get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/OCT. It sure is.
Yeah, that's BetterHelp.com/OCT.
So now we're here. So you go with the family donor.
Beckett's brother.
Brother donor.
Super uncle.
Super uncle.
Super uncle. That's funny. Yeah.
And then you're shipping sperm, or how do you do the sperm?
Or you didn't want to ship it.
We texted him or called him or something. We said, you know, how would you feel if we just do it like the most basic way with a kit, like the Mosey kit? That's what we used.
Mosey baby.
Yeah, we have the onesie that, you know, made with love. And we
I love it.
We booked a trip to Houston. I feel like I'm talking a lot. You want to tell this part of the story? It was stressful, but
Yeah,
it was fun.
It was.
You got to time it.
It was, you know, height of the pandemic. You had just gotten vaccinated, I think, I hadn't yet been vaccinated, so it was a bit of a risk. But what we flew down to Houston, hoping that it would still line up with, you know, when you were ovulating, and we booked an Airbnb that was like a block away from his apartment, and yeah, just, you know, worked out a time for him to like come home early from work and do his thing. And I went over and picked it up and, you know,
awkward conversation between you and your brother. Yep. Thank you. I will take that bag. I think today, let's not talk about this.
There was like a shared understanding that like, we just did not exchange words during the handoff.
There's no need to talk about this ever again. This moment.
So yeah, we drove back and
stuck it in there.
Did it, you know?
Well, yeah. And the ovulation test was negative at that time. It was continued to be negative and negative. And I think another episode of yours, I totally related to the guest who had the same thing happen. Like it was where she said it just, the timing seemed wrong. And then on the last, we had two things to use for the kit. And so we kept pushing it back. And then, and we had like dinners with Beckett's brother. It wasn't just like about the transaction. We caught up, like we made it a good trip. We saw Beckett's friends, one of whom had a 3-month-old, and I credit that. I just feel like that kind of
got the hormones going.
Yeah, got the hormones going. Like we held the baby and it was just like a fun little get together. And then our flight was at like noon on like the last day. And we decided like, let's just do the last one right before our flight to space them out as much as we could. And the one thing you didn't even want to mention this, but he did think of, you know, what about like lube that doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we had to go get him.
I had like a real moment of like just self like awareness when I was like doing an errand to go pick up some like sperm safe lube for my brother. Like that was just,
and then we dropped.
Could you maybe go get that, please? Or do I really have to go get this?
Glad he thought of it. What if he hadn't thought of it? There's so many things that could have gone wrong. So we like left it on his doorknob while he was at work. Oh
my God. That's fine.
And so you were able to get one more in before you flew home.
Right. And the crazy thing about that was that time I actually was the one who took it from him. We both drove over, but like he gave it to me and I gave him a hug because we were saying goodbye. So it wasn't like, you know, as transactional. And he had, I think in that moment, there was the intention, like we all hope this will work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we went back and, you know, I just happened to have to pee before we did it. So we like pulled out the ovulation kit. It takes like 5 minutes for the thing to register. So we did the, you know, insemination, and then there was a smiley face on it. Like it was like a magical thing that in that second we knew there was a chance because, you know, finally, like I was ovulating and so we texted him a picture of that and we were like, it worked. And he was like, oh, you can already tell that you're pregnant. Like he thought it was,
ovulating. Yeah.
Yep.
By the way, in my head, I am giving credit to American Airlines or whoever you've flown for all the jiggling on the plane, sending the things up there. I mean, I don't think that's scientific in any way, but that's in my head that's happening.
It was so weird because
things up there.
I have a horse and I would be like riding as we, you know, got back. And I never, like when you're early pregnancy, you don't, like in the first couple of weeks, you don't know anything, but I would be like riding and I'd be like, you know, is this helping? Is this hurting? Like it was such a weird time. And then we went to it was Beckett's birthday before, like two or three days before we took the pregnancy test. So we went to a lake house with some friends and it was, everyone knew like we could be pregnant. We could not be.
Also fun fact, the insemination occurred over the weekend of Mother's Day too. So maybe that was good vibes.
Yeah.
I'm just so amazed. Like you got pregnant the first time, like you timed it, you flew out there, it worked. And like, that's great luck.
It was great luck. I don't know. Maybe it seems like a little cheesy, but I feel like this kid, like he willed himself into existence. Like this is my one shot. I'm coming into this world. And
he needed to be, you know, here.
Yeah. And then I was pregnant. And then like at the first, ultrasound, it was like he was measuring small. And so the OB was like, ah, oh, we're going to flag this like 6 days small or whatever. And I just was never worried. I was like, no, this mm-hmm. being is like determined to exist. And, you know, I went into labor on my due date and it was just like,
me too,
know,
by the way.
Second. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice.
The first one.
He could have been born 2222, but we bled over. So 2322.
3 hours. Too
yeah.
Oh, wow. The force was strong in that one. The force yeah. was strong.
So you have that all is relatively easy as far as LGBTQ family making. And then Beckett, you're starting to have this conversation of, I want to look at gender for myself. And was this already a conversation that was going on, or is this like, was it a continuation, or how did that all go down?
Yeah, I think it did kind of start a little bit before we started really getting serious about family planning. And I think like, I came out as gay, like back in college, you know, mm-hmm. I went through the whole, that typical cycle, right. Of like, you know, ignoring for a while and then like, mm-hmm. maybe like self-acceptance and then mm-hmm. working your way to like, okay, maybe I'm going to tell some people and then advocate for yourself and then maybe start to advocate for others. Like that, I realized that was kind of this cycle that was happening as like a coming out process. And I see that because I'm going through it all over again with gender right now. Uh-huh. And I'm definitely not super far along in that process. I'm still, you know, trying to figure stuff out and mm-hmm. I'm learning as I go, but yeah, I think one of the like big tipping points for me was I started following a bunch of kind of influencers, I guess, but you know, people on Instagram who were kind of in the like non-binary and kind of trans bubble of social media, and not really thinking of, you know, why was I doing that, but I
started thinking at that later.
Maybe there's a reason. So, and I think one of the big like epiphanies I had was there was a person who was like this really, you know, like high profile, like lesbian on Instagram who like came out as non-binary and saying that they wanted to get top surgery and not do hormones. And like, I grew up in Texas and I was like, you can do that. That right. That's a thing.
Yeah. Right.
And so there's just like such a journey of like learning about all the different ways to be trans. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I'm still, I was still really early in that process when we were starting to, you know, do family planning. And I think when I was ready, I came to Katya and I was like, I think I want to get top surgery at some point. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's going to happen at some point in my life. And we talked about it for a while and there was no like urgency. It was just like, okay, like this is going to happen at some point. And then it obviously started coming up a lot as we were talking about family planning, because it was like, okay, now I need to think about like, do I even want to carry? And if I do, is it going to be before or after the top surgery? So it was always kind of this like element of the family planning discussion.
Did the you thinking about carrying, did that spark in any way part of the gender conversation? Or were they two separate things?
I mean, it definitely contributed to it and raised a lot of questions, but I was definitely questioning long before that.
Two things that come up time and time again on this podcast. First, the intentionality that you're exhibiting right now, all of this talk that you had to go through in order to figure out, well, do I want to carry? And if I carry, what does that mean? And do I do it here? And do I do it there? Intentionality. We're so intentional with these families. And also, reason number 5,000 million trillion why representation matters.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have known, had you not seen this influencer, that this was an option for you.
Totally.
Right? Representation yeah. matters so much. And it yeah. just, it comes up so much on this podcast.
Yeah. And I feel like, especially in kind of the media and cinema too, like I embraced my lesbian identity like so hard, and like yeah. any show, any movie, anything, no matter how terrible it was. And there are many yeah. terrible
ones. We watched those movies.
I was like, a new one's out. We've got to go
get
watch
our
it.
Hopes up. And then it's just like, oh, yeah.
And
but you live for the kiss scene. Like, that's yeah. what exactly. it's all about.
It's the culmination. Right.
and I watched this one really horrible movie with Elizabeth Shue, just hoping that the lead character was going to make out with Elizabeth Shue. And she made out with some girl in the bar drunk. And I was like, that's what I watched this whole movie for? Yeah.
You take it, though. You take what you can get.
Yeah, sure do.
But yeah, so I feel like there's, you know, cinema is evolving as society is too. And I know, you know, sexuality and especially gender has a really fraught relationship with cinema as we are starting to see more and more now. But I feel like gender is kind of going through the same kind of transformation that sexuality was in terms of presentation in cinema. It's just like a little bit behind in that, like, you start off and it's, you know, really terrible representation, but at least some representation.
Right.
And then it turns to like, okay, we're starting to see, you know, shows and movies that are made by actual gay or, you know, non-cis people, but they're typically like really tragic and they're always, you know, heartbreaking. And then you get to a point where like, okay, now it's just like a thing. It's just like part of this person's identity and they happen to be in the movie or the show. And
that's not their sole purpose for being in it, which is always nice when you see that.
Which, by the way, is so wonderful when you see these influencers just taking up their space because they're just being them. But yeah, so Beckett, you're going through this. Katya, you're learning of it as it's going on. How is it for you?
Well, on like our first or second date, gender came up. I don't know why, but Beckett shared with me that they were really drawn to, you know, a Native American, like, and not just Native American, like the, I don't even know how far back this goes, but the like concept of two spirit, having both masculinity and femininity. And then, you know, in Thailand and other cultures, there are third genders that are very established. And Beckett always did kind of refer to more of a third gender being relatable as opposed to, you know, being a woman or being a man. And now I think it's still an evolving conversation of like, you know, Beckett will more and more pass as a man and be perceived as a man, use men's bathroom, you know, like our society forces you into the binary. And that's something that is like blowing my mind as I think about just the layers of gender, because I just never thought about it as much. Like my own gender is like, I've never questioned I'm a woman, but I definitely like, I don't wear makeup. I don't identify with a lot of feminine things, but I never really thought about, you know, society imposing, like I've been called sir before and I find it a little annoying, but like for it, like, it just is not a big thing. So for Beckett to be following these people and to want top surgery, like all of that made a ton of sense. And then as we, you know, as Beckett started talking about like desiring a deeper voice, hormones, like it did get complicated. We had to just communicate a ton about like, you know, what is the end goal? What are the most important things? How does my sexuality potentially evolve? Because I like, you know, Beckett gave it a try to date some guys in high school. I stopped that in eighth grade. I went to prom with a girl and a girl. I am learning about my own biases against men. And they're there
because it may mean a change in how you identify, or maybe not. I don't know, right? Or how you're perceived. Yeah, all of that.
Yeah, like we went to a restaurant about a month and a half before the baby was born, and I like tend to just be the one who pays. I tend to be the one who, you know, just
talks and
more. Yeah, and I like had my credit card out, and the guy ignored me. He just presented the bill to Beckett, and it was just a shocking experience. Oh,
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, wow. And at the exact same time, not only are you dealing with that in your relationship, you're also setting up the gender norms or not like within as parents too. So it's like it's happening in two different places. Yeah. And we talk about it in our book, and we talk about it in the themes about how, because we're non-traditional, we get to decide who does what role. But at the same time, there are really like gendered questions like, Beckett, what are you going to be called? And what are you, you know, it's like those, all those things are happening all at once. And that's a lot. Stroke and you have a new baby.
Yeah.
Right. And hormones going on possibly for both of you.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot to break down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things haven't been dull around here for sure.
Sure.
No, people at our wedding gave toasts like, oh, you know, like, I'll just use the name Beckett. Beckett and Katya are a force. Just watch out. Like, they're like going, like, just kind of this like energy around just how we never get complacent, I guess. Mm-hmm. And neither of us even necessarily knew like why that was people's perception of us. But
well, we were also like, we bought a home and we're like remodeling it like months before the wedding.
We just like weren't,
as
yeah.
You do, as
we,
you do.
We just, yeah, it, I guess it's
pushing.
Right. It's kind of like that. Like, we, if we get a little dissatisfied with something, we tend to like make the moves rather than, you know, simmer on it.
Sit in it.
Yeah. I have an image of like high tide in my head. You guys are like the high tide. You just keep rolling. You just keep going. Keep coming.
Yeah. We're just trying to, yeah, like move toward, and we, like, that was in our vows. Like, we really care about growth, constant improvement, and, you know, pushing, I guess, a little out of our comfort zones. And I honestly, and parent brain is real. Like, I forget where that started and where that was going, but
I don't know either.
Why do kids grow so dang fast? I feel like I'm always buying new clothes, like always.
I feel you. I feel you. It's nonstop.
It really is. But I did just find the most adorable online baby clothes because we love that online stuff.
Do tell.
Yeah. Baby Mori creates all the essentials a parent needs, crafted from soft, safe, and sustainable materials, which we love. I got the cutest, softest pajamas for Orion. He loves them. I love them. He doesn't want to take them off in the morning. That's a battle, but that's a, I mean, it's, you know.
That's fun, except the battle part.
Yeah, he looks cute,
I
though.
I actually gifted a pair of Baby Mori PJs to my friend's newborn. I was drawn to them because they use a unique blend of organic cotton and bamboo, and it is gentle on the little one's sensitive skin, and their clothes are made using ethical methods that have low impact on our planet. I mean, we have got to take care of our skin and our planet.
We sure do. We sure do. And Baby Mori aims to make parenting simpler through innovative designs like two-way zips and extendable sleeping bags, which is important for those newborns. And all their products are designed to be the highest quality, long-lasting, and worn, washed, and passed on again and again. They've got clothes for up to 6 years, so I am good for Orion for a while, and then I can pass them. I can pass them on to the babies.
And here's another reason I love them.
Not kidding.
Oh, I know. I know. Because Baby Mori is giving our listeners an exclusive offer of $25 off when you spend $50. Oh, my God. So you can stock up on the softest clothing for your little one. That's such a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Visit babymori.com. That's baby, M-O-R-I.com to redeem the code PROUDPARENT.
Yeah, you're going to get $25 off when you spend $50 on the softest clothing for babies and kids with your exclusive code PROUDPARENT.
Let me ask you, how did you separate these things?
Yeah.
Did you focus on one thing at a time? Like, what did you do in order to process all this together?
Where do we start? Well, I'm just grateful that we did get to do all this before the baby was born. And it's not like it's done, but, you know, hormones began in end of September, right? So like, like 5 months before the baby was born, and we got to talk about what Beckett would be called. And you know, I think we still haven't yet experienced kind of appearing heteronormative with a baby and like what that will be like interacting with other parents. We just have not had that. I mean, we've been called, like, Beckett's been called dad by medical staff, and that's, you know, like just the beginning.
How's that feel?
I mean, it's starting to feel more and more right with time. I'd say, I think that's like the name that I think I kind of knew I always wanted, but like, you know, it's like an imposter syndrome a bit, you know, like it's, I didn't feel right, like claiming that name until I felt more like, okay with my body and like how it aligned with how I wanted it to look. So yeah, I mean, being in the hospital and have like having people just assume I was, you know, the dad or the husband was like, it was really, really nice. I think only one person, it was actually like, throughout the whole process, no one made any mistakes about it. And then I journal daily, almost daily. I try and journal daily. But and I was like, we were waiting to be discharged in the morning in the hospital. And I was writing my entry being like, wow, like this experience has been so much better than I thought it was going to be. Like I didn't get misgendered or, you know, no kind of hiccups there. And then the nurse walks in.
Final nurse.
Like last minute. used she, her pronouns. And I was like, oh, so close.
So close.
So close. Yeah.
That's still pretty darn good.
It was good.
That's still pretty darn good.
That's a lot of shift changes.
Yeah.
Did you let them know beforehand or like?
We did talk about that a lot. We were putting together our birth plan and we had our pronouns on it. And our doula, who's awesome, is very, very like intentional about
my high school girlfriend. That's another sidebar story.
She's very intentional about like queer identities and making sure that we were, you know, she wanted to basically like defend us as much as we wanted her to. So she was like,
yeah,
I'll wait outside the door and like tell everyone what pronouns are when they come in. And I think I was just okay with the, you know, somewhat being misgendered. I knew that it wasn't going to happen a ton because my voice had already changed a good amount by then. So yeah, I think what we did felt good.
Yeah. It's just, you see so many people when you're in the hospital for 3 days. And it is surprising to me that a stranger at this point would say she, her, because like it is so mad. Like,
well, we had the lactation consultant and she like was trying to like get me out of the way or something to get to the baby and was like, sorry, I don't know what to call you.
Which is still fine.
That's,
like,
that's so great. Yeah. Thank you for just being honest and saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We try to assume best intent from people and it's rarely malicious.
Yeah.
But
what's funny is that like 5 years ago, calling you she, her would have been progressive. And it's like now it's like you know, we're getting, because it's like they, you know, that all the assumptions are all over the place in the hospital. Like they're totally. Just, you know, they have so many people that come in, like you said, assuming best intentions. You know, they always just say mom, because they don't know your name. Mm-hmm. You know, they're moving through things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about running the gamut, though, of LGBTQ family making. Like you started out as a lesbian couple. You get pregnant, you're both genetically related to this child. Now you're going to be dad. You both literally are genetically related. Like, like it's awesome. It's amazing that you're getting this full spectrum experience here.
Totally. I think we were FaceTiming with our friend yesterday, and one of the first things she said was like, oh my gosh, Becca, Milo looks so much like you. And I was just like, oh wow, like that's I guess gonna be a thing now. People are gonna say that.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, and like Katya, when people on the street are like, oh, this baby must be all daddy, huh?
Yep.
Like you happen. Could be like, people say that to me and I'm like, ooh, you know.
Well, it brings around that whole conversation of passing and like how you feel or don't feel and like when you wanna say your queerness, and like you two are gonna walk into a world where if you choose to or want to, and I'm not an expert in this, and I'm trying to turn this into a question, but like where you could pass if you choose to, but it's like, then you've got kids who are watching you. So like, what does that all look like for you? Is that like, we have a tiny baby at our feet, Robin. Could you just get off my back
and give
me a second to think about
it? He seems to be on like, deep REM cycle. So we're
knocking wood again. I'm knocking wood.
I mean, I think that was one of the biggest kind of factors and trying to figure out what my parent name was going to be. I kept having this vision of like our kid, you know, in a first or second grade class, and the teacher's like, okay, draw your family, and then them having to like explain this new word that wasn't mom or dad, and kind of putting that,
which plenty of queer, you know,
totally
family and kids do, but
and no, like everyone does what's right for them. And I think I just like was less tied to any one name. Like I didn't feel super strongly enough about it to kind of have to create that extra kind of
persona
or
whatever, like the kid, because kids are going to hear mom and dad all the time. And
and I don't think I'm ever going to like want to just like, you know, militantly like pass and like hide the fact that I'm trans from like all of my kids' friends or, you know, parents and stuff like that. I want to make sure that our child understands what being trans means, and we're not going to like hide any family photos or like our wedding pictures or anything where I'm like very like, you know, not very feminine presenting. I'm wearing a suit, but I have long hair. I think it like being just being direct and honest about the whole thing is what we're kind of planning to do.
Yeah.
It's almost like your origin story just has another layer to it. Like when you get into starting to tell your baby their origin story, it's going to involve your brother. It's going to involve mm-hmm. a flight to Houston, and it's going to involve your transition as well. And that's just, you know, you'll tell that story and then you'll add on to it.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I know it's just so interesting straddling like traditional and non-traditional. Like in some ways I feel like we're out of the 1950s. Like I quit my job. Beckett is the breadwinner and the dad. I started a podcast that doesn't make money, but that I figured.
Listen, we understand that.
We get that.
Right.
We understand totally that.
Yeah. But that I figured like, oh, this is something that I could do with a baby in theory. Like, we'll see. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we're early days, but you know, that's my life until we decide to outsource childcare, mm-hmm. you know, and Beckett is, you know, going to the home office, kissing the baby when they can. And, you know, I think our family and friends are still kind of navigating, like, you know, how do you define your family? But all everyone wants now is, you know, baby time. So it's
they're like, whatever, let us know when you get to that.
Yeah.
Give me the baby.
Yeah.
All right, Jamie, you know, I rag on you a lot for focusing on your hair all the time.
You sure do.
I do have to say, thanks to my personalized pros routine, I can honestly say that I have never been more in love with my hair. It is
really
soft. It doesn't look greasy after 5 minutes or 5 hours. I mean, listen, there's no one size fits all for hair care, but pros has got my routine right. I will tell you that.
I am really so very happy for you because it's true. Hair products matter. Hair mm-hmm. matters. Mm-hmm. And pros makes custom hair care that's effective because it's personal. Mm-hmm. Using natural ingredients with proven results, you guys. Pros customizes every product in your routine from shampoo to supplements.
Okay, so first, Pros is going to start by asking about you as a person with their in-depth consultation. Pros asked me really unexpected things like, where do I live? Because those things matter when it comes to your hair, which I never thought about how much the quality of air where I live could affect the way my hair looks.
But it's so true.
Right.
And that's what I love about Pros. They analyze all your answers and then they determine what unique blend of ingredients should be in every product of your custom routine. So Pros, they got all my hair goals covered. I've been mm-hmm. using their Pros custom dry shampoo and I am loving it.
Nice.
It gives my hair the texture I need to style it, you know, because it's short, but it doesn't look like it's lathered in product. It's all about the texture.
Also, as a carbon neutral certified B Corp, Pros is an industry leader in clean and responsible beauty. All their ingredients are sustainably sourced, ethically gathered, and cruelty-free. I mean, they're also the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral.
And if you're not 100% positive Pros is the best hair care you've had, they will take the products back, no questions asked. I love that.
Oh my God, I know. And you're not going to send it back. You're just not. Pros is the healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/OCT.
That's PROSE.com/OCT for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off.
Woo!
You know what? Your traditional looking.
Non-traditional.
You know, you're traditional.
You're traditional, non-traditional.
On the outside, but you are so not traditional. I mean, this is, this whole story is not traditional. And that's what makes it so goddamn beautiful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was difficult for me. I don't know if it was difficult for you, but like one of the hard parts of like coming to terms with my gender identity is like realizing that that would make us kind of pass. And then that kind of removes you a bit from the like, the lesbian, you know, or just like super queer.
Your queer world, right?
Yeah,
queer world that you embraced so wholeheartedly.
Exactly. And so
right? Or it can be a part of your identity. You said it yourself. You said you were a very hardcore lesbian and then now you're not.
Yep. So mm-hmm. It's like it's a circle. You go so far that you're back at the beginning almost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll still.
I remember.
Oh, go ahead.
When we talked to Teek Milan, he talked about that. He said that when he transitioned, there was a real sadness for him because he felt like he lost his lesbian community because they were people who had supported him. He'd been so close with, and that was, you know, a big change for him.
Yeah. I've read about that a lot in various like forums on like Reddit and stuff too, where like, you know, you as you start to transition, you do lose your connection to that lesbian. I mean, if you happen to be lesbian before, right. but to that kind yeah. of queer group. And at the same time, like, you're not quite always accepted into the like male group, or especially if you're non-binary, you don't want to be, but it leaves you kind of in the middle, not in a group. Mm-hmm, And like one of the first times I like really felt that was I had like come out at work and like changed my name and pronouns, and everyone was very like supportive and accepting. And I had one of our people team reach out to me being like, hey, we're like throwing this women's event. I see you're in the women's group still. Like, do you want to come? Do you want to be invited? And I was just like, oh, I guess not. Like, all my friends are going. I guess not, though, because it's gonna. Yeah, maybe not.
Right.
And yeah, it is. It's a sad moment. It's a sad realization. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons why there's so many great like forums online for people to connect to others in the same situation, because mm-hmm. they've kind of lost connection to their more in-person, you know, groups.
Mm-hmm. And
I was gonna make a, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, and no two experiences are completely the same.
Right. And I was gonna make a bad joke. I was gonna say you're stepping into your white male privilege. But I have to really be clear that I'm making a joke. Everyone just making a joke. Nobody beat me up.
Yeah.
No, you're good.
I'll keep that in check. Yeah.
For sure. We still have a strong-minded lesbian sitting right there. Right there. You better stop with that white male privilege.
Yep. And with the raising a white male child, like, you know, what will, it's like me and then them, and all three of our pets are male. Like it is a shift.
You're on an island.
Yeah. Actually, the side note on that is that I would always, our dog is like very expressive. So I'd always be like, are you going to go on a walk with your mom? Like I would say that just constantly. I referred to Beckett to our pets as your mom. So like for a while, I just didn't refer to any, like your parent, you know, say nothing. And now like just starting to say your dad it's still like, you know, it's still new. It's still something I have to think about. But I see it, especially like seeing that there's like now this father son thing forming, which seems really, you know, beautiful in its own way. Like it's just a dynamic I didn't think I would have in my own family, but to see it kind of I liked being pregnant in some ways, but everyone knows the last month is terrible. And just, I don't need to be holding this baby 24/7. Like I'm happy to hand him off. And so just to like hand him off for burping, diaper, everything. Yeah. It's just, it's just nice to see like that, you know, that connection be formed.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. And it's a transition, and you're going to be in a transition for a while, but so is parenthood a transition. And so is all these big milestones in life. Yours, just like Robin says, has another layer or two.
And you know, what's so interesting too, is like, there is all these layers around you of like gender and parents and traditional roles and non-traditional and, you know, all these things, but your souls are connected. And that's, you can see it just of you two in the room, the way that you talk to one another and the respect, and that you're gonna transition through all this is gonna be beautiful.
And your baby is so quiet. Asleep. You are doing something right.
Your baby's asleep. This whole interview.
Right.
I hope the rest of the night goes as smooth as just as this interview did.
But to that point on like, you know, the soul connection, like it is just, you know, to your listeners, to the world, I guess, like it is so hard for a relationship to go through a gender transition. Like neither person necessarily expected it at the beginning. And yet things do change. Intimacy changes, you know, like what you do in public changes, the fact that we go into different bathrooms, all these things it's new, and change is hard for people. It just is. But we used to take Tai Chi together, and that influenced us on a spiritual level. You know, it's like yoga, but it does ask you to connect internally. And we went to this like 12-hour workshop, at the end of which the like Tai Chi leader said to Beckett, you're glowing, you know, and he said to me, keep trying. So like, you know, Beckett was already on their way. But there was this like image that they presented to us in the workshop that was like, there's your soul. Like it's who you are. It's at the core. You know, most people don't even know who that person is. Like we're trying to find your true self. Like that was the mm-hmm. workshop, find your true self. But then there's beliefs, values, like things that are very difficult to change kind of surrounding that, but they could change. The whole point was that only the true self doesn't change. But then like the outer layers were like your behaviors, your emotions, your thoughts, your personality. So that like far outer layer is your mm-hmm. emotions, which like the whole point is like, don't like let the emotions pass. You will feel different. Like it's, you know, everything that Glennon Doyle writes about, like it's that like surface. And that has helped me through Beckett's transition because it's those outer layers are changing for both of us as the hormones and everything, but we didn't marry each other for those outer layers. Like we, you know, we really connected at that deeper level. And I, you know, like it matters to me that looking into Beckett's eyes, they're the same eyes. Like they just, they'll always be the same eyes. Mm-hmm, and like, I'm not going to lie. Facial hair is probably the like thing I'm most nervous about. It's like the farthest thing, right, from being in a lesbian relationship. But like the eyes are like, you know, the thing that center me. And I want Beckett to experience like having cool, you know, like a cool beard situation because, you know, like it's something you never got to do. And now you will be able to at some point. And so again, like, I don't know if it to me, it'll be like the sexiest version of my spouse. Maybe it will. We'll see. But it like, but the point is,
maybe you'll have like, a negotiation about a tight, clean facial shave. Maybe there'll be some negotiations.
Yeah. Like that's the thing. You can always shave. So yeah, like, it's just, you know, we each have our things and I don't want either of us to ever deprive one another of that. Like I'm going to stick this baby with Beckett and go ride my horse a few days a week. And, you know, we make room for each other's things. So
that's right. That's right.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Oh,
yeah, it really is.
You guys are doing all right. I'm gonna go hug my wife.
Katya, tell people about your podcast so they can listen to your podcast.
All right. My podcast is called I'd Rather Be. And it just was born out of not being able to ride my horse, the thing I love most. And so I started talking to other people about their passions and realized that everyone's passion gives them the same thing at the end of the day. It gives them peace. It gives them serenity. It gives them just this release. And a lot of people in their 20s and 30s stop doing what they love because of work, family, finances. Like it seems trivial, but you know, I believe it's the most important thing to hold on to what we love. And so, you know, it's kind of like you can ask someone, what do you do and learn about their work? Or you can ask them, what do you love to do and learn about something real? Like you might learn about chess or one of my episodes is horseshoe pitching. Like who knows anything about these things, but someone can tell you with their passion, what this thing is, why they love it. So my podcast is each episode is, you know, an episode on pottery or badminton or stargazing or backpacking through the lens of someone who loves that thing. And
through the lens of passion. I love that.
So yeah, it's about our passions. And
we all need that. We all need to get back to our passions. It's so true. And it gets harder and harder.
Especially when you're a parent and especially when you're in a pandemic, it's like all those things get smaller and smaller.
Right. And so like, you know, who knows what the future of it is, but I think becoming a parent, you know, going through all these transitions, it is a beautiful thing to be able to do and put out in the world. Because even if I only have, you know, a few listeners at the end of the day, like I love hearing from them. Like anyone who talks with passion can inspire. So each guest seems to inspire different people. And I love that. Like I did a bird watching episode and I've heard from people like, oh man, I always wanted to do bird watching and I've never done it. And like, you know, the whole point is try it. Like you could try anything. There's really no negative to just trying a brand new, you know, craft or hobby and seeing what you think of it.
I love it.
Amazing.
I love it. Ugh. That's amazing.
Well, we are so glad you reached out to share your story with us. So glad. It was so amazing.
Well, thank you for doing the podcast. I just discovering it and hearing how different people have built families and, you know, just as people are farther along than us, right? You've had guests who have been doing, like, who have grown up kids, who have kids that, who, you know, are a year old. Like, we can find something for every mm-hmm. stage we're about to be in. Yeah. And that's what's so exciting about it.
Yeah. Like you said, representation matters. So yeah. it's yeah. the content you're putting out is helping a lot of people. And we've gotten a lot of it out of it too.
Aww. Aww, thanks, guys.
Oh, damn it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, it really matters. So thank you.
Oh, my God. I love those
I love
two.
Them. I love
they're going to do just great. Don't you think?
I think so. I think they're going to be good.
They're just like so communicative. And it seems like they're just both like listening to each other. And the thing that I was so struck by is like, you know, these are two things that could change a relationship. And instead well, yeah. they're listening and communicating to what they each need and want. And yeah. and it seems like they're doing this together. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely changing though. It's
for sure.
It's yeah. going to transform in whatever way it does, but they seem to be doing it together, which
that
is
whole
beautiful.
Bit about like Beckett's eyes are still the same person. I was like, yeah. I love that.
I'm going to cry.
I know.
Cry again. I also love the term super uncle for Beckett's brother who donated the sperm.
I know.
That's
super
that's
uncle.
Fun.
Love
I love it.
It
when we hear new names, new terms. It's one of the highlights of our families, which is so creative. I love it.
Oh, I love it.
Innovative.
Listen, if you got thoughts about today's episode or anything else ovaries related, you want to talk about Jamie's hair, you can just go to sayhi.chat/ovaries and you can leave a voice memo up to 60 seconds.
You can talk about Robin's hair too.
Yeah.
Do that.
It's under
that.
A hat right now because it's gross.
Yeah. And then we might put it in an episode, especially if you make fun of Robin's hair.
Or Jamie's hair. Both our hair.
I'm just kidding. All right. Well, you guys, you know where we are. We're on the social media, Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We are If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. And you know, you can support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And that's where you're going to get that bonus content.
That's right. And thank you to our sponsors, BetterHelp, Baby Mori, and Pros. And a huge, huge, huge thank you to all our Patreons who are helping us make this show every damn day. We thank
every
you.
Day.
Every
thank
day.
You. We couldn't
every
do it day. Without you.
Every
we
day.
Couldn't do it without you. We could definitely do it without Helen, but we can't do it without you guys.
Fucking
we really
Helen.
Can't. Oh, Helen.
Oh, Helen.
Ah, Helen. She already left for the day.
She
all
did.
Right. Before
Eggs.
We even finished recording. She
ovaries.
Just walked out the door.
She heard the out. Out with Helen.
Out. She was out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, X ovaries out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.